Hello everyone. In this session, we will be looking at the National Seed Policy. The new National Seeds Policy was introduced in 2002 with the sole aim of providing high quality seeds to farmers on time and to meet our food security requirements. Under the National Seed Policy, apart from the public sector, private seed companies would also continue to play a major role in the development of seed sector. So this policy was predominantly a precursor for the food security problems. It aimed at giving the best quality seeds to the farmers so that higher yield is obtained and we can tackle the food security problem of this country. And this policy was in a better way that was introduced for our country because it also looked at public sector participation for the same. The state agricultural universities and ICAR institutes have the primary responsibility of production of breeder seeds as per the requirement of respective states. So whatever is the requirement of every state in terms of breeder, foundation and certified seeds, the breeder seed production is taken care of by the state agricultural university and ICAR. Each state is entrusted with the task for undertaking advanced planning and preparing a prospective plan for seed production and distribution. Now, there are institutes and organizations that are looking at production, but for that production, they need some form of forecasting or planning. And this planning or forecasting and this requirement or the demand generation is done, or rather, it is the responsibility of the state. So the state has to understand what is the seed requirement, which varieties are required, which crop is required, how many seeds are required, or how much seed requirement is there in a particular region of that state, and accordingly a report needs to be sent to SAUs and ICAR, who will accordingly begin the production for breeder seeds and further foundation and certified generation seeds. The state seed farms have been set up in all states to multiply high yielding variety of seeds and to distribute them to the farmers easily. These seed farms also provide training to farmers through various demonstrations that happen in real time on the field. So we are not only looking at production, we are not only looking at testing the products, but we are also training the farmers in a more progressive technique, in a more progressive manner to ensure that they take these seeds and utilize them in the right fashion. Just by making seeds available to them does not necessarily mean that the yield is going to increase. Necessary training or support needs to be given to these farmers so that they ensure that these seeds are not wasted. The seed policy also promotes a seed village scheme, which facilitates the production and timely availability of seeds of desired crops and varieties at the local level. We are looking at the village level activities when it comes to these seeds. Understand that agriculture is still a rural based industry. There are very few agricultural land that you can find in urban areas, and it is actually very rare. 99% still resides in the rural areas, and hence specific schemes are required to ensure that the seeds reach the last mile farmer in every village of this country so that the seed program in India is a success. Under the new National Seeds Policy, the public sector seed producing agencies have free access to breeder seeds. You do not get a breeder seed access if you are a private sector or an MNC player, but public sector has been given free access to breeder seeds. Private seed manufacturers can access them, but there are certain criteria and conditions that they need to follow. Only then will they get access to such breeder seeds. It is kept in that manner so that there is some form of regulation, and the public sector industries or the public sector companies and government bodies can actually ensure that the seed industry is still under the purview of the government. Certain public sector seed companies involved in production and distribution are basically the NSC, the SFCI, the SSCs of every state. SSCs also provide certain information on various hybrid high yield variety seeds in the country. Now, SSEs are not just involved in production, it is also letting us know about the various new varieties that are coming up in the market, which are high yielding varieties. There are researchers around the country who are now developing hybrid seeds which can ensure greater yield per hectare. Every now and then there is a new type of seed that is coming out from a research lab, and all of that needs to be certified, registered, and those information needs to be passed down to the farmers. SSEs plays an important role in this form of communication. They pass on this information to the respective stakeholders in this entire seed program by telling them that there are these new hybrid high yielding variety seeds, and you can actually gain access to them and ensure that your yield is better or gain more monetary support. The new National Seeds Policy, which came in around 2002, it basically also provides intellectual property protection to new varieties, and it also helps to set up institutes for planned development of the sector. Understand that since there are so many research activities going on, it is imperative that we look at intellectual property protection, because there can also be a forging of or pilferage of certain research related data that can be utilized by either some other private organization or an MNC organization if intellectual property regulations are not put in place. Now, these policies have certain major thrust areas, exactly 9 of them. First is production of quality seeds by the private sector. The policy is set up in place to ensure that strict norms and requirements are laid down for the private sector and MNC players who can ensure that the best quality seeds are coming out in the market. It also helps, or rather has a key objective of setting up seed testing labs in various states. Until and unless we have a seed testing lab at the last mile or the grassroots level, we will not be able to understand, or we will not be able to control the seed industry in a manner that we wish to. Establishing the state seed testing labs also increases the motivation for a lot of progressive farmers to create the nucleus hybrid variety seeds. The policy also aims at giving access to the breeder seeds easily to the public sector, and obviously with certain conditions to the private sector. Certain other areas that we look at, or rather the main features that we need to look at from the national seed policy point of view, is the development of new and improved variety of plants. Today, as we say that we need to increase the yield per hectare by using good quality seeds, we need a lot of varieties. The problem why we needed such a policy in place was there were several varieties which were getting away from the market. We were not seeing certain varieties in the market because good quality seeds were not being produced. So the Act actually put in place a proper process and rules and regulations which ensures that every time there is some new or improved variety of plant which is developed through research and development activities. It also ensures timely availability of quality seeds. We saw in the previous section how the perishability of the seed is an important factor from the marketing mix point of view. Any seed that is produced, packed and labeled has to be used within 9 months of its production, or else it will not be viable for agriculture. In such a situation, it is important that the seeds are made available on time for the farmers, because the farmers also have a very small window to acquire these seeds and sow their fields. Compulsory registration of seeds is also a part of this policy. Just because we created a high yielding variety does not necessarily mean it can be started for commercial agriculture. We need to get every seed or every variety registered under this policy with the state and central government. Unless and until we are registering it, it will not be accepted for commercial purposes. Infrastructure facilities and its creation and maintenance also comes under a part of this policy. Quality assurance is another major aspect that this policy looks into. Quality assurance by ensuring certification, by regular testing, and by ensuring that the infrastructure for seed storage is properly maintained with the requisite standards. All of this basically helps in promoting the seed industry to a greater level. In certain cases, it also looks into abolishing of licenses for certain seed dealers if they are engaging in some form of malpractices or there is no adherence to the rules and regulations laid as per the policy. These dealers lose out on their license and they cannot enter the market again. The policy also arranges for, or rather it provides facility for import of best quality seeds from other countries, and it also encourages export of good quality seeds from our side to other countries. So the import-export factor as far as seeds are concerned also falls under the purview of the National Seed Policy 2002. It is important to understand the impact of import-export here because, like we said in the earlier sessions, there are certain vegetables and fruits that came into India after liberalization of the trade practices, which has also helped several farmers or several individuals who are engaging in farming activity to actually gain a lot of monetary benefits. Similarly, when we export good quality seeds from our end to the other countries, we also become a global hub and a master of our game. The National Seed Policy also looks into creation of certain seed banks or the National Seed Grid, which holds the database for all the variety of seeds that are grown in this country for every type of crop. There are certain thrust areas that we need to again look at. We looked at a couple of them before, three of them to be precise. The other six that the National Seed Policy looks into, the thrust area is basically the area where they want to give more priority, is the variety development. We are looking at so many varieties moving out of the market, or it is not being produced because of various conditions, or because predominantly because the quality of seed that the farmers are getting is not good enough and it is resulting in crop failure. Variety development is also an important part of the industry, not only from the seed industry perspective but also from the agricultural industry perspective and from the farmer's developmental perspective. We will see why it is so important for the farmers in the subsequent slides. But it is important to understand why National Seed Policy is looking at variety development as a major priority area. It is also looking at plant variety. It is not just looking at development, but it is also looking at protecting these varieties and ensuring a continual supply of good quality seeds of various varieties of crops. Seed production, obviously, quality assurance, obviously, is a thrust area. Another important aspect of National Seed Policy is the distribution and marketing. Like we saw in the previous session, that the marketing mix for seed is not necessarily a very easy one. It is not a mere 4P. There are multiple pros and cons. There are multiple things that needs to be taken care of before actually the seed goes out into the market. And even when it goes out into the market, it has to be sold within a specific stipulated number of time, otherwise it will be rendered non-usable. Infrastructure facility development also falls under a thrust area for the National Seed Policy. We have seen how infrastructure is still in a very dismal condition in certain pockets of our country. The National Seed Policy ensures, or rather promises, to develop infrastructure facilities in certain areas of the country where agriculture is still one of the major occupations and it requires a lot of attention. Transgenic plants is another area where we need to look at. We are now focusing on genetically modified plants or crops. The only genetically modified crop that India today has is cotton, and we have not gone beyond that. There are several developed nations in the world which have moved on to vegetables and other horticulture related crops which are genetically modified and can be used by humans without many major side effects or without any side effects. Import and export of seeds, or rather planting materials, is also looked into it. Promotion of domestic and private sector participation in the industry is also a part of this policy. By doing all of this, we are also looking at the strengthening of the monitoring done by the government towards the seed industry. Like we looked at the abolishing of licenses, strict measures being taken by people who do not adhere to these rules and regulations. Areas where private players need to focus if they want to get access to breeder seeds. All of this is ensuring that a regular, constant, stringent monitoring is done for the industry so that we control the seed quality in terms of genetic purity, germination percentage, and physical purity, and we ensure that the yield is high. Seed Bill of 2004, basically this bill was introduced to replace the Seeds Act of 1966. The idea was to improvise on certain legislations and policies that were laid down by the Seeds Act 1966. The seed bill involved a lot of registrations from various varieties of seeds. So you're not just listing down the seeds, but you're also registering them with the government so that they can create a central registry of all varieties of all crops. Evaluation of performance from the seed perspective, from the organizations that are involved in the seed industry, comes under this bill. In case a farmer is facing monetary difficulties because of a flawed seed that comes to him, which is still certified by the government agencies, compensation to these farmers are also taken care of by the Seed Bill 2004. Registration of seed producers and processing units also comes under this policy, because we are not just talking about registering seed varieties and crops, we are also talking about the people who are involved in this. They also need to be registered, and their credibility and integrity needs to be checked time and again. Seed dealers need to be registered. We saw how in the previous 2002 new seed policy, the seed dealers can actually lose out on their licenses if they are not adhering to the requisite terms and conditions. But they also, in the first place, need to be registered with the government before they can start their business. The regulation of sale of seeds and seed certification also falls under the purview of this particular bill. Seed analysis, seed testing, testing at various stages. We are not just looking at the physical testing. We are looking at the growth test. We are looking at testing of the seeds at various levels. All of this comes under, or rather the process and the policy that needs to be followed for such processes is also mentioned in this legislation. We are also looking at the export and import of seeds and various other planting materials. We're looking at offenses and punishments. So the seed bill encompasses basically identifying the right stakeholders, registering them and ensuring that their credibility is maintained. It ensures that the processes that are followed while manufacturing of seeds or production of seeds are followed to the T as per the policies laid down by the government. So constant monitoring happens out there. And last but not the least, they are also taking remedial or corrective actions against people who do not follow these policies as per laid down by the central government and the legislation. There has been an amendment to the Seeds Bill of 2004. Now, this amendment was basically done to ensure that the quality of seeds, was maintained. They felt that there was a need for upgrading the seed quality. There was a need for upgrading the regime of testing and upgrading, or rather creating new varieties and hybrids, because the food requirement was increasing, the crop requirement was increasing, and somehow the government felt that the current norms that was there at that point in time was not adequate enough. So new legislation was brought out with a view of emerging technologies that were coming into agricultural sector. This bill amendment resulted in a lot of participation from technological giants from various other countries participating in the research and development activities for the country. Apart from all of this, the amendment also resulted from a requirement of safeguarding farmers' interests. Though there were a lot of private players coming in, there were a lot of MNCs coming in. At certain point in time, the government felt that the farmers were not necessarily being taken care of, and hence the industry had to have a all-farmer focus. Increasing the role of private sector also was a part of this bill. Though we were also talking about the interest of the farmers, but increasing private sector participation by putting out some laws and rules in place so that the interests of the farmers are also taken care of was also looked upon when this amendment was done. India's integration at international level through World Trade Organization and other international organizations and treaties also fell under this act. We were now opening up to the world. The seed industry and the agriculture industry was opening up and widening its horizons, inviting several players with financial expertise or technological expertise or actual resource availabilities who could come into the country and take the industry to the next level. The act also focused on increasing the scope of import and export. So we were not only just inviting companies to participate, we were also looking at other countries availing seeds from us or we availing seeds from them. So this to and fro exchange also got facilitated through this act. As per this bill, all variety of seeds for a sale have to be registered. No seed which is not registered under this act cannot be sold in the market. It cannot be commercialized. Now, seeds are also required to meet certain minimum standards. We looked at these standards in the previous sessions. The bill does not restrict farmers' right to use or sell his farm seeds and planting material, provided he does not sell them under a brand name. Now that we are looking at breeder seeds and foundation seeds and, you know, certified seeds, one needs to also understand that when these farmers are growing, traditionally because of the mindset, because of the way they have looked at their forefathers conducting agricultural activities, a farmer is bound to save some seeds for himself. Earlier, there was restrictions for these farmers to sell these seeds in the open market, but this bill actually gave them an exemption from selling these seeds to other partners. The only catch being that they cannot brand or market their seeds as a specific branded seed. It can be a generic seed and it can be a normal local sale. If a registered variety of seed fails to perform to the expected standards, the farmer can claim compensation under this act. The bill also permits self-certification of seeds by accredited agencies and allows central government to recognize certification by foreign seed certification agencies. So it is not only looking at our Indian certifications, people can actually go and get their seeds certified by an accredited agency, but it can also look at getting the seeds certified by a foreign seed certification agency. Now, farmers can greatly benefit if their seeds are certified by foreign seed certification agencies. There are breeders or seed producers who actually look out for such certifications so that they can get more monetary benefit and they can become a progressive farmer in their respective area. Now, every seed producer and dealer, or rather every horticulture nursery, also needs to be registered under this act with the state government. The seed bill proposes to establish a central seed committee, which can later appoint several subcommittees if it is required. The registration of subcommittees needs to maintain a form of national register for seeds. Now, this register will have the details of every single variety of every single crop. And if there are new crops coming in, it needs to add to the register. This way, if tomorrow we need to have us, if we come across a situation where a particular variety is falling short or it is facing a trouble, the register can give us data and information about that particular variety and we can try and get them back online. Every state government is supposed to establish a state seed committee for advisory role. So a state seed committee is acting as an advisory, or rather an advisory body for the seed producers and other agencies which are operating within the state for the seed industry. In October 2010, the Union Cabinet Minister approved a moving where additional amendments to the seeds bill had also come into place. Now let us look at the varieties of various crops, rather why should we protect the varieties of various crops. We have been discussing about how these legislations and rules and laws have been working towards protecting these varieties and getting the various varieties of every crop registered. Why is it so important? In order to increase a farmer's income through improved agriculture or rather improving their quality of life through better agricultural returns, development of new plant varieties is necessary. Until and unless they have multiple varieties of plants, the farmer will not have a lot to sell. Certain varieties actually give out better yields in comparison to a normal variety that or normal common variety that the farmer has been doing, you know, for some time. It is also said from an agricultural perspective that the more different variety of seeds that you grow in an agricultural land, in terms of species or within the same species in terms of variety, the fertility of that land also increases to a great extent. The process of plant breeding and its commercial applications by way of new variety development is very important in boosting rural agricultural income. It is important that we provide an efficient system to a plant variety protection, since it has direct implications with the standard of living for the farmers. And if the standard of living of the farmers do not improve, agricultural sector does not improve. And if agriculture fails, everything else in the country fails. Hence, protection of plant varieties and that of farmers' rights is of prime importance in the seed industry. So the Indian PPV and FR Act, which is nothing but Plant Protection of Plant Varieties and Farmers' Rights Act of 2001, was created with specific objectives. There was a need for this act to come into place. The need was first to stimulate investments in R&D, both from the public as well as the private sector players, developing new plant varieties and ensuring appropriate returns for such investments. So we are not only looking at investing in research and development facilities, but we were also looking at getting a lot of monetary returns from that. It also was put into place to facilitate growth of the seed industry through domestic or foreign investments. These domestic and foreign investments later on ensured availability of high quality seeds and planting materials to the Indian farmers. Like I had given you an example of certain grape qualities that were, you know, used in Nasik region of Maharashtra. These grapes are very rarely available in India, and there are already international companies which come down and harvest the farmers, and they do not allow the farmers to touch the fruits, though they are the ones who are working on the farms for them. So there are so many international level seeds that are coming into our country. People are producing it and exporting it and actually gaining a lot of monetary benefits from it. This needed to be controlled or monitored to a certain extent, and that is why the PPV and FR Act was formed in 2001. So what are the basic features of this act? First of all, it extends to all varieties of plants except microorganisms. Certain microorganisms that are used in food like yeast are not coming under this particular thing. Yeast is also grown by farmers. Mushrooms are also grown by farmers, but not all of them come under the purview of this act. In order to be eligible for protection, a variety needs to be new. It needs to be distinct, uniform, and stable. This is known as the DUS testing, where the distinctiveness, the uniformity, and the stability of a new variety is tested, and then it is put under registration as a new variety of a particular crop. Provisions are also made for compulsory licensing of in the public interest. So whether you are a seed producer, whether you are a seed dealer, whether you are a testing laboratory, you need to get registered. Unless and until you are not registered and do not have proper licensing, you will not be able to enter into the business. And even if you do, there will be legal action taken. The objectives here are basically to establish an effective system so that plant varieties are protected, farmers' rights are protected, plant breeders' rights are protected. The effective system is required to ensure that not just the companies which are entering into the system, but also the grassroots level farmer gains benefit from all of these activities. It also aims at encouraging development of new varieties of plants. So the PPV and FR Act is not just protecting certain plant varieties, but it is also encouraging people or researchers to develop new varieties of plants which will give better yield, which will have better immunity, which will help the farmer in India to gain more traction. To recognize and protect the rights of farmers with respect to their contribution in conservation is also a part of this act. So we are not just looking at creating varieties. There is also an important part here of conservation of certain varieties. Certain varieties of rice and wheat are dwindling in the country. The farmers who are conserving it are taking it to the next level. Certain areas like Hampi in Karnataka is creating history by at least producing 40 to 50 different varieties of rice. Farmers are being encouraged to conserve various varieties of rice. Certain varieties cannot be even seen. We may not have even seen more than 10 varieties of rice in our lifetime, but there are more than that. We are not aware. So a conservation perspective is also important from the point of view of plant variety protection. The Act also has an aim to recognize make improvements in the plant or making of plant genetic resources. It needs to focus on the biotechnological aspect in the agriculture sector, and it understands, this particular Act understands why it is important for us to now look at the genetic engineering aspect or the biotechnological aspect in farming, why we need to look at making plant genetic resources available for research and development processes. Another objective of this Act is to accelerate agricultural development in the country. It needs to protect the breeders' rights, stimulate investments for research and development, and it does not look at only private sector activities or public sector activities. It looks at the entire industry from a holistic perspective. We were always talking about farmers and their rights or companies and their duties, but there are plant breeders who are involved in this. There are people who are involved in creation of certain variety of seeds. Their rights also needs to be taken care of. Once we look at it from a holistic picture, you can understand that this Act has an objective of impacting the entire agricultural sector of the country, and it aims at developing the sector to the next level. It also helps in facilitating growth for seed industry in the country. It ensures that high quality seeds are available, planting materials are available to the farmers, and this availability does not necessarily mean that, you know, they just ensuring that the product is available at whatever price. Availability also means that it should be affordable to these farmers. If at any stage high quality seeds or planting materials are not enough, or rather it is not affordable for the farmers, there is no point in making it available. Now, there is a section in the PPV and FR Act which says the breeders' rights. Now, let us see what exactly are they trying to figure out in each of these rights. So, there are breeders' rights, there are researchers' rights, and there are farmers' rights. So, let's first look at the breeders' rights. The breeders are given exclusive rights to produce, sell, market, distribute, import or export a protected variety. So any variety that comes under this particular Act that is registered with the government, the breeder has an exclusive right to produce the seeds. The breeder has an exclusive right to do all the necessary activity on that seed produced by him or her or that company. And nobody can actually question them unless and until they are not compliant with certain policies of the country. Researchers also have certain rights in this respect. They are basically allowed to use any of the registered variety under the Act for conducting experimentation and research. So if someone wants to see if a particular hybrid can be created by mixing up of two different hybrid seeds or two different varieties, an R&D facility has the right to do it. But of course, the research can only be done with a registered variety of the crop. None of these stakeholders, whether they are breeders or they are researchers or the last end farmers, they cannot play with seeds which are not registered with the government. Farmers, again, obviously they have certain rights. For example, if a farmer who has developed a new variety is entitled for registration, and protection. So they are not just registering it, but they are also protecting it. The farmer gets complete credit for the seed that is produced by him or her. Now, we also spoke about the DUS testing. So whenever there is a new variety that comes out into the market, there is a form of testing that is done to look at the distinctiveness, the uniformity, and the stability of a new variety of seeds. Since we are talking about propagating various varieties and protecting them in the Indian seed industry, one of the major requirements for this act is the DUS test center. Now, this act facilitates identification and setting up of various DUS testing centers across the country. All right, and the plant patent through this testing, a plant patent is actually given or granted to the inventor who creates this particular variety of crop. So a DUS test center is necessarily an infrastructure requirement as far as implementation of this app is concerned. Now, Indian seed sector has undergone a lot of reforms in the recent times. We have seen the sector change from a very restricted, conventional, conservative approach to a liberalized, globally participative approach. And we have seen how it has benefited the seed industry in a great manner. Here we'll see a couple of reforms that has happened in the industry. First is, in order to encourage export of seeds in the interest of farmers, the procedure for export of seeds has been simplified. Generally, an import-export procedure is not that very easy. There are multiple documentations, there is a lot of money involved, there are licensings, and there are multiple checkpoints. Sometimes it becomes very tiring, especially if you are a farmer from a low-lying rural area where you may not even necessarily have the requisite education or literacy to understand these processes. So for such situations, the government has actually reduced or rather simplified the terms and conditions to ensure that the seeds are exported and farmers gain more monetary value out of it. Seeds of various crops have been placed under an open general license. Except for certain wild varieties, there are wild strawberries and certain wild herbs that do not come under this thing. There are germplasms, which are nothing but your pulses that do not come under this. Breeder seeds do not come under this license, and onion seeds do not come under because they have a very small shelf life. There are several seeds which do not fall under the OGL because they are from a restricted list because of their shelf life issues or multiple other problems. Now, this OGL is listed under the Exim policy 2002 to 2007. This is an important factor to note because unless and until we improvise on the export policies for the seeds, farmers will not be able to take due credit of the various varieties that they have bred with. Now, government has also taken a few initiatives to protect plant varieties and to protect farmers' rights. Some of these initiatives are basically subsidy that is given for seed producing. Any stakeholder who's involved in the seed production activity, whether there is a farmer, a researcher, or a breeder, has certain subsidies that come their way. These subsidies help them to take care of a lot of expenses that are incurred in the process of seed production. There are schemes of the seed division that have launched a central sector scheme named Development and Strengthening of Infrastructure Facilities for Production and Distribution of Quality Seeds. This scheme helps in strengthening the entire infrastructure requirement of the seed industry, and it facilitates production and distribution of good quality seeds to the last mile farmer. Now, to fulfill the obligations under Section 27(3) of the TRIPS agreement with WTO, the PPV and FR was enacted in 2001. So it was the PPV and FR Act did not just come into picture because of certain local requirements, but we had an agreement, a TRIPS agreement with the World Trade Organization, and to ensure that we are adhering to that agreement, the PPV and FR Act was put into place. apart from this, there are initiatives like seed crop insurance. For example, if there is a seed breeder who is putting across a crop for manufacturing of seeds, he can actually avail insurance specifically for a seed crop. There is a seed bank scheme. There are seed village scheme. The seed village scheme is something that we discussed in the previous slides. So these are certain initiatives that the government takes to ensure that plant varieties are protected, farmers' rights are protected, and other stakeholders who are involved in the seed protection methodology or the process are also taken care of. Now, let us look at the other aspect in seed. For every time we talk about seed, we cannot end it without mentioning the impact of genetically modified seeds. The only genetically modified crop that we have ever given out in the market, as we all know, is the BT cotton. It is said that the BT cotton has certain immunity or resistance to a particular worm or a pesticide or a pest called bollworms. Modern molecular biology techniques are increasingly being used to produce genetically modified crops. Now, these crops are aimed at inducing certain genetic qualities at a DNA level that can impact the yield, the immunity, and probably the shelf life also of the seed. So it is important that we have certain rules and regulations in place when it comes to genetically modified seeds. Now, it is widely recognized that use of genetically modified products or crops should be subject to specific safety standards and measures, because there are a lot of apprehensions or a lot of skepticism in the market about the risk that human beings may possess due to certain genetic modifications. There is still a school of thought in the world which across researchers and across nature enthusiasts in the world, where we say that biotechnology is actually not good and we are playing with nature. Such thought processes result in certain apprehensions and skepticism in the minds of people. And because of that, the uptake or the acceptance of genetically modified products are generally at a very low level. Now, India has a well-defined regulatory mechanism for such products. We evaluate and we develop genetically modified products and we control it through the Department of Biotechnology or the Ministry of Environment and Forest. They are the apex regulatory bodies that look into the complete activity as far as GM products or BT products are concerned. Now, let us look at also the seed export and import portion. Like I said in the earlier slide, that the export regulations have been relaxed so that farmers have a better access to global markets in terms of selling their seeds. The export-import of seed is currently governed by the Exim policy, and there have been certain amendments made to ensure that seed export and import becomes easier for the farmers or the breeders in this country. First of all, certain restrictions of export of cultivated varieties of specific seeds have been removed. For example, breeder or foundation or wild varieties have been exempted. The restrictions have been removed. Onion, cashew, rubber and such products, their exemption has been removed from the export-import policy. We are also not looking at, there is a flowering plant called Niger. There was a restriction on the export of Niger for certain specific reasons. That has been removed under the amendment of this policy. And we have also removed restrictions from exporting or importing groundnuts. Now, understand the fact that we may look at it from a very, bird's eye view that, okay, they made a few amendments, but what is the impact here? The amendment impact is that now farmers can actually ensure that cash-rich crops, for example, onion, cashew, rubber, these are all cash-rich crops. These are all crops which give out a lot of monetary return to the farmers. So if they are able to sell seeds of such cash-rich crops in global markets, the returns will be equally good. And the farmers will not only benefit from their regular agricultural activity, but they will also benefit from the breeding process that they are a part of. The Exim policy also ensures that all import of seeds and planting materials should be regulated under the Plant Quarantine Order of 2003. The import of seeds have to be cleared by the Plant Protection Advisor after quarantine checks and all happen. Now, it is important. We have all seen the quarantine and we have all understood what quarantine is all about. But when it comes to plants, it is important that any plant seed or any plant which is imported from another country has to be quarantined for a specific number of days just to ensure that they are not carrying a disease which is not already present in India and they unnecessarily affect the crop. Now, once the quarantine checks and once, almost of a 3 week time, quarantine is done for all these seeds, a plant protection advisor looks into it. He checks either he will accept or reject the seed. If it is rejected, the consignment has to be destroyed. If it is accepted, it moves forward to the various other facilities. There is an OCED scheme that boosts seed export. The OCED schemes are basically for grasses and legumes. It is for cruciferous vegetables. It is for other oil and fiber species. It is for cereals. It is for maize and certain vegetables also. Under the OCED scheme, the seed export kind of actually boosts because it is a multilateral arrangement between several countries around the world, and it gives a lot of platform or a lot of room to the farmers to actually explore the global market for their seeds. Thank you so much.